Right now, we're taking a look at the latest news from the presidential campaign trail. Over the weekend, there's been more news about Republican nominee Donald Trump's federal income taxes, and Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton got a celebrity endorsement in a key swing state.
Abigail Tracy joins us now to tell us more. She's a staff news writer for Vanity Fair. She covers Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and Washington. Abigail, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's start off with the news about Donald Trump's taxes. Actually, getting into the background a little, he has declined to release tax returns out of custom with most presidential candidates. In effect, that's become a holy grail, hasn't it, for journalists and politics watchers to get any kind of morsel of evidence about what's on those.
Yes, it definitely has been. I think sort of refusing to release his tax returns, which has been a tradition of presidential candidates for decades now, has sort of invigorated journalists' hopes of finding something on him, or, you know, the reason why he is not choosing to release those tax returns.
And so here we are. One journalist in the New York Times goes, opens up her mail. There's a package with some information. What did we learn in this apparently leaked tax information from Donald Trump?
Well, so kind of what the tax document revealed was that in 1995, Donald Trump posted a $916 million loss, so just shy of $1 billion, which could have effectively, according to tax experts who spoke with the New York Times, allowed him to not pay income taxes for about the next 18 years. So, you know, you're looking at something like that, and that could be a reason why Donald Trump has chosen to this point not to release his tax returns.
And we're seeing the Clinton campaign and Democrats really running with this. Do you think they'll get a lot of mileage out of this, a little bit of Donald Trump's taxes that have been disclosed here?
I think so. I think what it does is it sort of lifts part of the veil of secrecy that's going on with the tax returns. And it does point to the fact that here is a guy who we know is incredibly wealthy, but has probably benefited from the tax code in a lot of ways. And I think this sort of shows, you know, if he wasn't paying income taxes for the nearly two decades that the New York Times suggested, you know, that is something that could affect voters and whether voters believe that if he is in office, he will no longer be giving wealthy people like himself tax breaks that benefit them and not, you know, middle class or working voters.
A lot of this, the tension over this tax is heated up in the first of three scheduled presidential debates. Let's give a little listen to that.
I will say this. We have a situation in this country that has to be taken care of. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted.
So Donald Trump saying he had said can't release some audit. A lot of people said, well, there's no legal reason why you can't release tax returns while you're under an audit. Here he floated this idea anyway that if Hillary Clinton released, dug up some emails that had been deleted, he could, in fact, release it. Is that, do you think, going to be his line of counterattack as Democrats attack him over what we're seeing in his taxes?
I think so. I think, you know, in recent weeks, the Donald Trump campaign has done a very good job sort of redirecting these attacks. And a lot of the ones that they have fallen back on time after time when the tax issue has been brought up is Hillary Clinton's email scandal. And I think that is just a trend that we're going to see continue throughout the rest of the election. And I think it is something that's easy to point to because it's not really apples to apples. You know, they're very different things. The emails are different than his tax returns. And Hillary Clinton has already released her tax returns, so it's sort of, you know, one thing that the campaign can turn to as sort of a defense of him, you know, making this decision not to release.
Talking to Abigail Tracy from Vanity Fair, looking at latest news in the presidential race, Donald Trump's taxes, and a little more. You can call in, by the way. Is this tax information, Donald Trump's tax information, an important issue to you or a non-issue to you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And another issue, does it matter to you who endorses a candidate, a presidential candidate, any candidate? Is there somebody you look forward to endorsing? 800-642-1234. And Abigail, I want to turn to another story you covered. Big endorsement in Ohio. LeBron James, basketball player. Now, that doesn't sound like maybe a big deal here in Wisconsin, but I try to come up with an analogy. Like if Aaron Rodgers of the Packers had grown up in Wisconsin, gone to high school, gone straight from high school to the Packers, left, come back, won a Super Bowl, that would be to Wisconsin what LeBron James is to Ohio, at a battleground state. Is this an important endorsement that we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think right now, especially when we're looking at the popularity of the two candidates, which is historic, unprecedentedly low,
very low.
I think what you're seeing is celebrity endorsements do actually matter a lot in this race, especially with those undecided voters and people that they can sway. And when you're looking at a state like Ohio, which has traditionally been a bellwether state for presidential elections, it's important. You know, it is a battleground state, and it has 18 electoral votes, and it matters, and it will eventually matter in the outcome of the race. But what you're kind of seeing this year is Trump has sustained a pretty decent lead in the polls in Ohio for probably about since the midsummer. I think this morning, according to like an average, it was about 3.8 edge that he had over Clinton. But what you're kind of seeing is, you know, he needs to reach out to these other voters that have traditionally been going toward Clinton, especially in a state like Ohio, where it is incredibly crucial to whether or not he makes it to the White House.
Join in with your thoughts on the presidential race at 800-642-1234 as we talk to reporter Abigail Tracy about Trump's taxes, celebrity endorsements. Want to know if those make a difference to you? Again, call in at 800-642-1234.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation now with Abigail Tracy. You can see her work at VanityFair.com, looking at the latest from the campaign trail, talking about Donald Trump's federal tax returns, Hillary Clinton's endorsement in a battleground state. You can call in at 800-642-1234. Do Trump's taxes matter to you? Does a big name endorsement sway your vote in presidential or other elections? 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll go to Linda in Egg Harbor. Linda, hi.
Hi. I just want to make sure I heard this correctly. So in 1995, Trump put in for $960 million and therefore received the next 20 years tax-free.
He could have done, yes. Tax writers say he reported that amount of losses, and we haven't seen the tax returns for the following years, but people are saying, yeah, that he could have done that, yes.
Okay, he's just lost my vote. I'd say absolutely, if people don't look at this and say, we, the people, pay into the school systems, into everything that our taxes pay for, and this man has skipped out on it, you know, he just lost my vote, and if everyone follows his suit, I understand he said, I'm so smart, this was the smartest thing to do. If we all took the same route, we would be anything but great as a nation.
Linda, thanks for the call. And Abigail, that was a line of attack from Hillary Clinton, suggesting that Donald Trump might not be paying taxes, and saying voters would not be happy with that, wouldn't like that someone was not meeting that obligation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think you will see some backlash to it.
Linda, thanks for that call. We'll go next to Charlie on the line in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you. I'm a conservative Republican who is finding myself considering voting for Hillary, if not for one simple fact, and that is she has yet to state how she would be more honest. She has repeatedly lied to us about her emails, and she also said that she is going to use in the White House people like her husband, who has been caught lying and perjuring himself and even losing his law license. On top of that, several big, important Clinton aides, Hillary aides, have repeatedly required immunity and taken the fifth, and they're questioning, how can we vote for someone who will not be honest? And that's my biggest question.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. And Abigail, Charlie saying Republican, he's got doubts about Donald Trump, but people have pointed toward reservations about Hillary Clinton, as Charlie's saying, over lack of transparency. So do you, people have made the case that, you know, basically both candidates want everybody talking about the other one and the other one's problems to distract from their own. Is that how you see this next 5 weeks shaping up?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of an unpopularity contest is the way a lot of people put it into context. And what you're seeing is you're seeing two of the most historically unpopular candidates in history. And what they do is they deflect. You know, neither has a squeaking clean record, and neither, you know, if you made a candidate in a lab would probably be what you came out with. But when you're looking ahead, I guess my biggest advice to voters who are, you know, figuring out who to cast their ballot for this fall would be to look at the policies and look at the policies that you think will most likely improve your day-to-day life. I think, you know, neither candidate is perfect, and you're not going to be able to change that now with 6 weeks to go. So I think it really comes down to the policies that you support at the end of the day.
Charlie, thanks for that call. As we talked to Abigail Tracy from Vanity Fair, looking at the latest in the presidential race, Donald Trump's taxes, endorsements, and more, Megan joins us next in Milwaukee. Megan, hi.
Hi. So I have two comments. For LeBron James, I believe that that's extremely important for the millennial vote and the African-American vote in Ohio. And I believe that if Donald Trump, he's been running on that he'll fix the infrastructure in the country, that it's abysmal, it's a disaster, and that he will also hire more police for the violence in the cities like Detroit and Chicago. Well, if he's not paying taxes, then those two arguments of his are completely moot, because that's how we pay for things like police and infrastructure. So that would be my comment. Thank you.
Megan, thanks for the call. Abigail, let's look at that first comment. First, LeBron James, she says, will help get millennial votes. And that's an area where Hillary Clinton has been struggling as compared to Barack Obama, hasn't she?
Yeah, she definitely has. I think when you're looking at Hillary Clinton, she hasn't been able to energize the young voter base in the same way that we saw Obama do in 2008 and 2012, and it has hurt her. I think also, you know, if you look at the millennial generation, they grew up with her in the public eye, but it very much like kind of, you know, post-Clinton presidency, and you're seeing these different scandals play out in the media. So for a lot of millennials, they didn't necessarily know Hillary Clinton when she was, you know, working with children and minorities and kind of fighting these other causes that she says contribute so much to her platform. And I think, you know, that makes it hard for her to get these young voters to back her right now.
Thanks for that call. Time for a quick call from Dennis in Wautoma. Dennis, hi.
Hey there. Thanks for taking the call. I was just going to point out that, you know, the defenders of Trump are calling him a genius for taking advantage of the tax structure. But my comment is, what kind of a genius loses $1 billion back in the 90s when, I mean, let's face it, that was the best of all times. That was the dot-com miracle. Everything was going crazy. It wasn't until the crash that all that came to an end. So there were new millionaires popping up all over the place, new billionaires popping up all over the place. It was the wealthiest and the best of all times for the American economy, and here he is losing $1 billion.
Dennis, thanks for that call. And briefly, Abigail, you think that's an argument we're going to see going back and forth over the next few weeks?
Yeah, it definitely has been something that has been called into question throughout this election. I mean, you do look at his financial dealings and the number of times that he has declared bankruptcy, and while he gets up there and he boasts, you know, his business acumen and says that this is a reason why he is fit to run the country. And I think a lot of people do have hesitation with the fact that he has declared bankruptcy numerous times. And also, yes, he lost nearly $1 billion in 1995, according to this tax document that has recently come to light. So those are questions about, you know, how great of a businessman is he?
And we'll leave it there. That's Abigail Tracy from VanityFair.com.